All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Adjust your sets. This is the Oasis podcast. How you doing? It's episode 39. So that was cool to hear at the very start of the show. Yep, that was Liam Gallagher just introducing the Oasis podcast. I think that's going to be a regular occurrence from now on, which is very, very cool. And then we had a bit of Chaz and Dave with Snooker Loopy. And the reason for that is we've got an interview coming up with the champ, world champion, snooker world champion 1997, Ken Doherty. Who was, a big hero of mine, one of my favourite players, favourite snooker players growing up, and he's a big Oasis fan, so it's just really good, and it's cool. Sometimes these interviews take ages to put together, and we're sort of chasing around, chasing people up, and trying to find a date for the diary, and it just takes ages. Some of them that I've been talking about for months still haven't happened, and yet Ken, literally, I saw that he'd sort of sent a tweet out that he had a bit of banter back and forth with this Oasis tribute band, Live Forever, an Irish Oasis tribute band, and I thought, well, you must be a pretty big Oasis fan if you're sort of going to tribute shows. So just dropped him a little message, dropped him an email, and then he said he'd be happy to come on, and we fixed it up, and literally like the next day I'm speaking to him. So good fun, good little interview. After speaking to Ken, we've also got a catch-up with one Brian Garcia. So we interviewed Brian Garcia back, I think we said it was May or June, back ages ago, when the podcast was in its infancy. And at the time, it was like my most downloaded episode, which is absolutely fantastic, until Tony took that crown. So it was great to catch up with Brian. He's a lovely guy and fascinating, and is there anyone more dedicated to Oasis than he is? You'll find out all that's been going on with him, and we spend quite a long time talking about As You Were and Who Built the Moon, so a bit more chat about those, which is good. I know people enjoy that. And we are also breaking down You've Got the Heart of a Star. Now this is the final brackets song in our A to Z, so after this is finished we're going to actually be getting on to the A's. And I'll be asking you guys for your contributions about the next one, which is A Bell Will Ring.
A little space, a little time, see what it can do. A little faith, peace of mind, see what passes through. The sun will shine on you again. A bell will ring inside.
So just to give you guys a quick update, after last mini episode that I did, I mentioned about this book thing, and it sounds like that still might be happening. It's, as I say, it's still very early days, but I do need your help. It's not just me writing a book, this is a collaboration. So if you want to write something about Oasis, or if you've got photographs, if you just want to get involved, help out, then do please get in touch, oasispod@gmail.com or at oasispodcast on any of the social medias. So now, after this brief sporting interlude, it will be my interview with Ken Doherty, and then we'll come back with the news.
There's no better feeling in the world.
So Ken Doherty thoroughly deserves this World Championship title. He's a great friend of Stephen Hendry, and Stephen Hendry will be back, I'm sure, to claim his seventh. But at the moment, Sheffield and the Crucible Theatre belongs to Ken Doherty, who beats Stephen Hendry 1912 to become the 1997 world champion.
Hi, is that Ken?
Yeah, speaking.
How you doing, man? It's James from the Oasis podcast.
How are you, mate? You well?
I'm very good, thank you. I'm very good.
Do you do a podcast, is it?
I do, yeah. So it's a podcast that's been dedicated to the history of Oasis, and then obviously with all the recent things in the last few months, it's all become a bit more news based, which has
fantastic.
Been a bit mad.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think they'll get back?
No.
No.
No, I mean, what
doesn't
do you think?
Like it.
No, it doesn't look like it. I don't think so, and not any time soon.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm so impressed with Liam's new album. Are you?
I love it, mate. I love it. Yeah, you're enjoying it.
Absolutely brilliant, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Wall of Glass and For What It's Worth. Yeah, what a great track that is.
I know. Classic.
Oh, brilliant.
Could be an Oasis album, couldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic, yeah.
Devil's on my doorstep since the day I was born. It's hard to find a sunset in the eye of a storm. But I'm a dreamer by design, and I know in time.
So just to let you know, I mean, I've got Irish family, so I always basically support any Irishman in any sport.
Oh, and, okay.
So I was a big fan of yours in the 90s. And and obviously, like, we've had the 20th anniversary this year of Be Here Now, which coincided with sort of something quite big that happened to you in 1997
didn't
it?
Yeah, 20 years, yeah, since I won the World Championship, yeah.
Yeah, so
it's fantastic. It's amazing how quick the years go, you know. But I've been watching, funny enough, I got my son, I've been trying to get him, my son is only 10, you know.
Yeah.
And I got him sort of listening to a bit of U2, as you would. Like, U2 would be a big sort of favourite band of mine as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sort of into it a little bit, but then I started playing Oasis in the car to him, you know, over the last year or so. And next of all, he has the Oasis albums all downloaded on the Spotify, right? So anytime we get into the car, he plugs the phone in, and he has his own playlist now of Oasis tracks, you know.
Fantastic.
That he listens to going to school, or when I pick him up, or when I anywhere I take him, he grabs the phone. Dada, can we put on the music? You know, and he knows the words now. He has the words rhymed up. He even sings them in the karaoke and everything, you know. So he's a complete converted, and he's still only 10. It's fantastic, you know.
That's great. That's good. Get him hooked, young man. That's what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely, yeah.
No, fine. And so I think you're probably the first world champion I've ever had in the podcast, which is
brilliant.
Amazing.
Oh, well, there you go. Force for everything.
What about growing up? Was music a big part of your life growing up?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I always wanted to be able to play guitar. My wife bought me a guitar for my birthday a couple of years ago, but it's still, unfortunately, on top of the wardrobe collecting dust, you know. But I've always wanted to be able to play, because in Ireland, music is a big thing, you know.
Yeah.
From the traditional music, going into pubs and everything. It's really a big thing. And, of course, you know, our songs are great. Sort of historical songs about, you know, our troubles and, you know, the famine and people leaving Ireland and, you know, stuff like that. We've always had a great, we've always been involved in music, singing or dancing, you know, the Irish music and the Irish dance as well. And so you're sort of brought up with it, you know.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted to be able to sort of perform, sing or play the guitar, you know. But I'm not musical at all. I can't. But I have the guitar. I just need to go and get some lessons on it. I've tried it out a few times. But I love music. Yeah, I've always loved music. Yeah.
Yeah. And so was it U2? Was that your big band coming through as a kid?
U2 was my first band. Yeah. U2 was my first band, and will always be one of my favourite bands, without a shadow of a doubt. But I like that type of music. That's the type of music I like. Anything with sort of guitar, you know, like a rock type of band, you know.
Sure.
So like electric guitar, acoustic guitar, good drum set, you know, anything like that. I love all types of music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I was singing karaoke, I could sing anything from Oasis, U2 to Frank Sinatra, you know what I mean, or Dean Martin. But I love all types of music, but that would be in my force. Like, if I was to go anywhere, it would be that type of rock music, you know.
Sure. And you got a good set of pipes on you, have you, Ken?
Well, I don't know that, but I do like it. We have a karaoke party every New Year's Eve in the house, way, because it's only friends and family, and like, you know, the more drunk you get, the better you think you sound.
Of
you
course.
Know what I mean? And when the first person gets up and sounds really, really bad, you know, everybody wants to grab the microphone and try to think that they can't sound that bad, but they don't hear themselves sing, of course. But we absolutely love it, you know. And,
sweet.
Yeah, it's great fun, great fun.
And what about on the snooker circuit? Is there a lot of big music fans from the other guys?
There would be, yeah. I mean, all the guys would love the music, you know, and to be all, I'm sure a lot of them would be big Oasis fans, particularly around my era. You know, I know Stephen Hendry is, John Higgins a big Oasis fan, and you know, a lot of the guys would love music, and it's a big part. I think, you know, when you're traveling as well, you know, you've always got the earphones, you've always got the phone with you, you're always listening to music, and yeah, I mean, I was sitting here just in my hotel, I thought I'd put on the playlist that my son had downloaded for me on the phone, but it'd be U2, it would be Oasis, it would be Coldplay. I like a little bit of sometimes a bit of, if I've gone a bit heavier, maybe AC/DC, that'd be about as heavy as I sort of get. I've been really listening to Oasis quite a lot lately, you know, and particularly the Liam Gallagher, the new album, it's just fantastic, you know. I'm really loving that.
Yeah, and is it like when you're getting ready for a snooker match, do you like put on, you know, like the, you know, Stuart Pearce in football, puts on a track?
I like walking and listening to music, but I like sometimes when I'm playing and when I'm practicing, I'll put the music on my phone and listen to it, you know, and it sort of helps me just sort of zone out a little bit, you know what I mean? It just sort of it sort of kills the monotony of practicing on your own.
Yeah,
I won't play. I won't do it if I'm playing with somebody else. But if I'm in the room, the snooker room on my own, I'll put on the music and listen to. You know, my favourite tracks and stuff like that, and it sort of helps me get through my practice time, you know.
No, fair play. And have you met, did you ever meet any of the Oasis guys? Or
I have, I met Noel a couple of times, and I've met, actually, the first time I met him was just out shopping, you know. I was in Brown Thomas in Dublin, and he was in the men's department, and it was in the 90s, and I thought, I have to go over and say hello to him, you know what I mean? He was playing that night. I was going to see him that night, actually, in the concert, to see Oasis that night in concert. And he was in the men's section having a browse around. I thought, like, fuck, I have to go over and say hello. I might not get another chance, you know? So I went over, and he knew who I was, you know, which was great. So how's the snooker going, he said to me, you know? And I said, it's grand, you know? And he said, how's Ronnie getting on, you know? He must have bumped into Ronnie a few times, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, he's grand. I said, you know Ronnie? He says, you don't know what you get with him, you know? He says, yeah, I met him a few times, you know? He says, here's my number. He says, give that to Ronnie, will you?
Oh, right, give it to Ronnie.
I said, I'm going to the concert anyway. And then I met him again, and he was playing with Paul Weller. And he invited me along to the concert, which was great, you know? And I went another time, so... But I saw them in Dublin, in the arena in Dublin, and they were absolute. It was the point at the time, and unfortunately, Liam had some sort of laryngitis, so he couldn't sing. But he was still there. He came out with the tambourine, and Noel sang all the songs, and it was just fantastic. It was just a brilliant concert, you know.
Fantastic. Good. And what about, I was reading about sort of 1997, and you mentioned, because I know you're a big Man United fan, so is that,
yeah.
I mean, obviously that clashes against the Gallagher boys, be a big City fan.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing they have going against them, you know what I mean, that they're City fans. But then again, like anything, you can't have everything, can you?
Yeah, you can't be perfect, nobody's perfect. But they mentioned...
He's mad into the football, you know. He loves his football. Both of them do, and that's good as well. But yeah, 97 for me was great, you know. And for me, as a Manchester United fan, one of my proudest days was when Alex Ferguson won a Wonderworld Championship. And Alex Ferguson knew I was a big Man United fan, and he said, and he rang me up. He got my number from somewhere. He rang me up. He says, "Oh, this is Alex Ferguson here." You know, and I thought it was a wind up. You know, I thought someone's having me over here. I said, "Yeah, of course it is. Who is this, really?" He said, "No, Kenny." He said, "It's my Alex Ferguson here, Manchester United." I said, "I know who Alex Ferguson is." He said, "I want to invite you up to my Old Trafford to parade the trophy at half time. Would you do that?" He said. I said, "Of course I'll do it. You're joking me."
I'm a bit busy that day.
Yeah. So he invited me, and I went up and took me around the ground. I went out at halftime with the trophy in front of. Then it was only 50. It was 50. Only 55,000. But they didn't have the new stand then, you know. And it was one of the best days that I ever had. It was like a childhood dream, you know.
I was reading about it as well. One of my great heroes is Cantona. There was a great story that you went in and sort of to meet the players.
He took me in to meet the players into the dining room. And he said, "Gentlemen," he says, "Ken Doherty," he says, "here, he's going to parade the trophy in front of the crowd at halftime, and he's a big Man United fan. Please give him a warm welcome, you know." And the two tables, the first team and the second team, it was their last match of the season. They were picking up the Premiership, and nobody got up and nobody said. They just turned around. There was a deadly silence that seemed like forever, you know. And after about like a little while, this big fella got up off the end, pushed his chair back, got up off his table, and walked straight over to me and says, "Congratulations, Mr. Doherty, and welcome to Old Trafford." I said, and I looked at him. I was so nervous as a kitten. I looked up at him because he was towering over me. And all that came out of my mouth was, "Thank you, Mr. Cantona." You know what I mean? I felt like a small child, like next to him.
Oh, God.
But it was, it was fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. So what are you up to at the moment? You still on the circuit,
I'm still playing. I'm working for the BBC this week. I'm at the Masters here in the Ali Pali in London. And I'm just doing the commentary for the BBC. I'm with myself and John Virgo, who is a big Man United fan, a Salford boy. We're going out to watch Man United tonight, and we're just sort of chilling. We have a night off. We were working today, and I'm here all week. And and then back to Dublin when it all finishes on Monday.
And the reason I sort of clocked, I knew you were a music fan, and then I clocked on Twitter the other day because you're a fan of the Irish Oasis tribute band Live Forever, aren't you?
Oh, fantastic, yeah. I've been to see them twice now, and I went the first time last year, it was around Christmas time, and then I went again this year, and they are absolutely fantastic. It's a great night out. I mean, they're as close as, you know, for us, that we can go and sing all the Oasis numbers, and the guy is such a great front man, you know, and he's such a great front man, and he's so good, and the musicians as well, they're so good. It's just like, you know, closing your eyes and, you know, singing away to all the songs. It's just absolutely brilliant, you know. I really enjoy it, you know, and they're good lads as well, good Dublin lads, you know. And I actually played, I video record at the concert, and the last time, last year when I was here, Andy Goldstein, who presents for Eurosport, he's a big pal of Gem.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to play with Oasis.
Yeah,
you know, he played with Oasis, and I played it for him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the big banner of Oasis behind the stage, and I played it. I said, "Listen to these." I said, "These are like a tribute band to you lads, like, you know." And he said, "Oh, Jace," he said, "they're pretty good." You know, he was quite impressed with them. And I told the lads were over the moon, you know. He says, "But where did they get that Oasis banner? I don't know where they get that from." You know what I mean? That's a bit too much.
Full on.
But, yeah, exactly, yeah.
No, fair play, Ken. Well, I know you got your cab coming, so I'll let you go. But
but thanks very much, and I'll listen to the podcast. Hopefully, I don't know whether they'll ever get back together, Oasis. Maybe they've gone too far down the line, but you never know.
You never know.
We live in hope, and could happen. That they will come back and do another network or something like that. You know?
That wouldn't be too bad. And we always end with a guest. If you want to, if you got a particular favourite Oasis song, and I'll drop it in after you.
My favourite Oasis would say is Champagne Supernova.
Can't argue with that, can we?
Yeah, yeah.
Ken, thank you so much for your time,
right,
mate. Me, really appreciate it. All the best.
My pleasure. Thanks,
cheers, man.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Where were you while we were getting high?
So I hope you guys all enjoyed that little interview with Ken. It was really good to have a chat with him. You know, really nice to hear celebrity Oasis fans. I love it. The one that I really want as well is Ricky Hatton. And he actually followed me back on Twitter the other day. I sent him a message on both on Twitter and Instagram. I'd love to get him on the podcast. But yeah, so far he hasn't come back to me. But yeah, so if you can follow Ricky Hatton on social media, either Instagram or Twitter, or just tell him that he needs to come on the Oasis podcast, that'd be great. So let's just catch up with some news then. In Liam world, he's been he's now on holiday, but just before that, the last leg of his tour was down in Southeast Asia. And he did some good interviews while he was over in Australia. So let's have a little bit of one of those.
Late last year, there was a bit of communication on Twitter with your brother, Noel. Did you end up catching up over Christmas?
Didn't catch up with him over Christmas. Didn't catch up with him last Christmas. Not caught up with him over Christmas for about 15 years. He goes to see me mum, and then we sort of share me mum. I'll have her next Christmas. But, yeah, no, the truth is, I mean, he said a few things that I didn't like, and I've let him have it again, so that's the way it goes. Because he thinks his shit don't stink, you know what I mean? He thinks he's got all the answers, you know what I mean? And he likes to sit on his high horse and let everyone have it. So I like to point out a few little silly things he's done, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm watching him. This is like, he was saying the other day about, like, it's undignified for a 50-year-old to play stadiums. So I pointed out that it's more undignified to support someone to support the undignified playing stadiums. Do you know what I mean? Just little things like that.
Liam, was there a significant event that turned you two against each other, or is it something that's been there since birth?
I think, well, obviously he's the middle child, innit? So when I come along, I just took all the...
all the glory.
I took the glory, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think it could have been that, yeah.
Who'd win in a fight?
I'd eat him alive.
So yeah, as ever, Liam was on really good form in a bunch of different interviews in Australia. So yeah, make sure you check those out. And our friend of the podcast, Sigs Alk, Carlo, who's a bit of a YouTube legend, has put up most of those stuff. So he's always a good YouTube channel to check out if you want to just keep in touch with all the Oasis related stuff. And from there, Liam then has gone on to both Jakarta and to Bangkok, where he's done a couple of gigs. And Anton Tell, who's been on this podcast before, he actually ended up quite jammily going to see Liam in Bangkok, and by all accounts said it was an absolutely fantastic show. So I'm hoping to get an audio review from him when he's get a chance. I've been keeping an eye on his Instagram, and I think he's like washing elephants and stuff, so it might be a bit tricky to do, but yeah, we look forward to getting that. And yeah, and Liam's now gone on holiday, so, and he's been giving us little updates. And basically, he's just been saying he's getting hammered every day, which, fair play. He's had a busy old few months, hasn't he? So coming up next week on the Oasis podcast, we've got George Lewis. Now, George is a comedian, and he's a TV presenter. If you watch Top Gear, Extra Gear, you'll see him on there. And if you've caught, you might have caught him on different TV shows doing his comedy stuff. And he... last week was on Mastermind. I think I mentioned it last week. Well, he did fantastically well. He won the episode, and I've got it here. So let's have a bit of that.
And your name is?
George Lewis.
Your chosen charity?
Save the Children.
And your chosen subject?
Oasis.
Oasis. In 90 seconds, here we go. What was the name of the head of Creation Records who signed Oasis to the label in 1993 after seeing them at a gig in Glasgow?
Alan McGee.
Yep, Oasis' rivalry with another band peaked in the summer of 95 when their respective singles Roll With It and Country House were released on the same day. Which band?
Blur.
Yep. The 2002 album Heathen Chemistry featured a track written by Liam Gallagher. What was its title?
Little James?
Songbird. Which album of B-sides was released in November 98 and reached number 2 in the UK chart? It was the band's last album on Creation record label.
The Master Plan?
Yes. Which duo kept Wonderwall off the top of the UK singles chart in November 95?
Robson and Jerome.
Correct. What is the name of the record label set up by the band in 2000? Its first release was their single Go Let It Out.
Big Brother.
Yep. Which former guitarist from the group Ride joined Oasis as the band's bass player before the tour for the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants album?
Andy Bell.
Yes. What was the title of Oasis' first UK number one single? It reached the top of the chart in May 95.
Some might say.
Yep. What is the name of the television presenter who interviewed the band before they performed Whatever and Live Forever on MTV Most Wanted in 94?
Chris Evans?
No, Davina McCall. In 2008, Noel said, "I'm not having hip-hop at Glastonbury. It's wrong," when he found out that a rapper had been booked to headline the festival. Which rapper?
Jay-Z.
Yep. Noel announced that he was leaving Oasis in August 2009 after reportedly being involved in an altercation with his brother Liam just before the band were due to appear on stage at a festival in which country?
Paris. France.
France is correct. Yep. No passes, George. 9 points.
So well done, George. I won't go into the ones he got wrong here because we talk about it next week in the episode. So yeah, but I thought I'd give, if you haven't had a chance to check that out on BBC iPlayer or elsewhere on the internet, if you're a non-UK person, then I thought you could give it a listen here. Also, the Brit Award nominations were announced a few days ago. And if you remember, I spoke about this a little while ago because it was really exciting to see whether or not both Liam and Noel would be nominated as best solo artist or for something else. And yeah, just to have them in the same room together, which we know they actually haven't been for, you know, a number of years. So that was I was really hopeful that would happen, and it didn't happen. So Noel was nominated for nothing at all. And Liam was only nominated for best British solo artist. So nothing for album or single or anything like that. But you know, it's a good thing that Liam's up for best solo artist. That'd be great to see him win potentially, although I doubt it because there's some real big names in there, people like Ed Sheeran who have sold trillions of records, so you know they've got to be the front runner. But yeah, it's just great that Liam's getting that recognition. If we go back in time, you know, a year or so ago and say, you know, Liam is going to have sold, you know, hundreds of thousands of albums and, you know, got be more critically acclaimed than Noel's and be nominated for Brit Awards and Noel wouldn't, you know, I think that's we would have been pretty surprised and really pleased about that. So I think it'll be great to see him at the Brit Awards. Hopefully he'll get to perform and hopefully he'll get to put a bit of energy and a bit of something into it, because that has just become a complete waste of time watching because in the last few years I just haven't even bothered watching it because it's awful. Nothing really has happened in Noel News. He's been very quiet. He did an interview for Australian Rolling Stone that was quite interesting. So you can check that out. As always, I get all my news from stopcryingyourheartout.com, which is the best Oasis site out there. And there is stuff coming up for Noel, though. He's going to be on Dermot O'Leary's show on Saturday morning. I'm recording this on Friday night, so it's probably happened by the time you've heard this. But yeah, so it'd be nice to see him back out again. As sort of Christmas is over and we can get back on it. And they've both of them have been announcing new dates for the summer as well. So yeah, watch that space. Keep an eye on Stop Crying Your Heart Out and just, yeah, make sure you catch the guys in the summer. So I think that's all the news for now. Let's go on to my interview with Brian Garcia. So it was great to speak to Brian again. I thought it'd just be worth catching up with him. Firstly, because it was the next step of our Oasis A to Z, which was You've Got the Heart of a Star, and I remember from when I spoke to him previously that that's one of his favourite songs, and also he'd done a cover version of it, so I thought that would be a good excuse to give him a shout and also get an update, because I knew he'd mentioned that so he had something going on with Brian Cannon, so I wanted to find out what that was, be nosy. And also I try and get him again to give me the I'm the Walrus studio version that I know he's got, and we'll find out if I'm successful in this interview after this brief musical interview. And he started to shake.
one off the rest and want to see girls.
Podcast, the legendary Brian Garcia. How you doing, man?
No, I'm doing very well. Doing very well, thank you. A lot of exciting things, I guess, since we last talked, which hasn't been that long. I don't know how long it's been, but every day's life and collection and Oasis and just everything in general. But yeah, so I'm excited about this. So thank you for asking me to be on again, because I really do. I enjoy all the podcasts. I enjoy all the guests and just the wealth of information that's out there from so many different people, collectors, people who've been with the band, associated with the band. It's incredible. The service you're doing for fans in general, I think, is fantastic. So thank you for doing that.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm pretty amazing, aren't I suppose, to be fair.
Yes.
This wouldn't be an Oasis podcast if we were humble, mate. That's it. You've got to be a bit arrogant.
That's exactly right.
I'll get people like contact me and say like, you know, we play new bands sometimes. And I'll say, oh, you know, if you wouldn't mind, if you give our band a go, we're quite good, you know. No, what you're doing? You want to say, oi, why the hell aren't you playing my band? We're the best band in the world. Then, you know, this is the Oasis podcast. This is what we want, a bit of attitude.
That's right.
But there you go. But yeah, anyway, so I was just having a look actually, and the episode that we did together was on the 20th of May it was released.
Wow, that's been a while then.
That is a while ago. It was recorded a little bit before that as well. So back then we didn't even know what Liam's album was going to be called, let alone it coming out.
Right, right. Madness. No, I know. I remember speaking to you actually the day of or day after, I guess, As You Were was released, and you know, I've changed my opinion since then, so.
Oh, go on. What's your views on As You Were then?
I really, really, really enjoy Liam's album. I know there's a lot of criticism all around, fans, critics, alike, saying that, you know, he doesn't write his own stuff. Which, you know, to me, I don't care. Actors don't write the films, but I love the way they act. They make the film. They bring the film to life, just like Liam brings a song to life, and he creates I don't know, it wakes your soul up or something. It's exactly what I love about Noel's songwriting. I think Liam's album has brought everything I love about Noel's songwriting into his own album. So I guess I think the criticism of, you know, having a team of songwriters is, it's an easy target for people to poke at, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I enjoy the album. I really look forward to a second one. I hope it's just as good, if not better, than this one. So, yeah. Yep. Big ups to Liam.
No, I agree. I'm with you. I have no issue with him not writing songs. I think, actually, you know, I think Step Away, I don't think there's any need for him to even, you know, he kind of proved himself by the fact he's got, you know, Bold and Universal Gleam and things like that, that you can tell are kind of Liam songs. You know, and then he might have been helped with the crafting of them or whatever. But basically, they are what he's come up with on acoustic guitar, it feels like to me anyway. But I think he's sort of kind of proved that. He's back now. He's a star again. Yeah. Everyone's so excited to have him back. So I don't think he's even needs to even do that now. I think we can step back and say, yeah, fine. Let's get a really good set of songs. It doesn't matter who writes them. You know, if he delivers them and then he can go out and tour them and play Oasis songs as well.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yep.
No, and I like that point. I've made that exact point as well about the a film. You know, if I'm going to watch Robert De Niro play Jake LaMotta, I don't care that he didn't write the script. You know?
Yeah.
It's Robert De Niro, man.
That's exactly right. I don't like, it's just like you know, I own a restaurant, so it's like, you know, I have two or three guys working on a plate in the back. When it comes out, it's not one person who made it. It doesn't matter. It all came together. The person is satisfied, the end result. So, to me, music is, it's a very personal, thing, and when it speaks to your soul, you know, there's nothing that can touch that music. And that's really why I love Oasis, because it was everything. It was the lyrics, it was the attitude, it was everything. It was a complete package.
Absolutely. Nice. Right, so what are we going to talk about then? Oh, what about Noel's album then? What about Who Built the Moon? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Noel's album, I guess his track record of everything else he's put out, for me, I've, you know, immediately fell in love with. None of his previous stuff was like a grower. Even the, you know, when he first went solo, The Death of You and Me, which was totally quote-unquote, Noel-like or Oasis-like. I love that track from the jump. You know, it was a little, had trumpets, it had horns, it had all sorts of weird stuff that I wasn't used to as an Oasis. I don't think nobody was used to as an Oasis fan.
No.
This album, a lot of tracks are growing on me. I do like If Love is the Law,
yeah.
Man Who Built the Moon. Those are all. If you look at what I like about those tracks specifically are the lyrics. It's great lyrics. Everything else, I don't know. I fell in love with Noel as Noel's songwriter, his recipe that he had. I don't know. It hasn't grown on me as much as the other ones. If anything, it's not something I'd get in my car and put on. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I have to listen to, you know, Careful What You Wish For, you know, that's
no.
or Beautiful World. I don't know if I'd tell my friends, hey, get in the car, you know, this is my songwriting hero, and put on Beautiful World. That's not something I would do.
And do you think that's the production? Do you think that the fact he's tried to do it differently with the David Holmes route?
I do. You know, even in interviews, he said, you know, I went in and I kind of let him, not run the show, because Noel doesn't allow people to do that. But you know, give as much, I guess, input as, you know, his other albums. And I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it was Noel's idea. Who knows? I mean, you know, there's a lot of speculation. Anybody can guess. But the end result is, I'm hoping for better in the future. I'm obviously going to go to his shows, but I don't know. I can't put it on. I can't put it on and listen to it over and over. And that's me being having an obsessive personality. I can't do it. So
yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I agree. I mean, I said when it kind of came out that I think there's some good tracks now. I think it's great that he's tried to do something a bit different. Because my problem with the first two Noel albums, I'm not as much of a Noel fanboy as you are. My problem with the first Noel albums, I was a bit like, yeah, fine, you know, but it was to me, it was like, it was latter half of Oasis level, like, yeah, it's good, but I wasn't desperately grabbing for those albums to shove them on all the time, you know, whereas, and this one, at first I thought, oh, it's great to be a bit different, that's what we've been hoping for, but then, yeah, but I think that what they're, by going this David Holmes route and sort of, and, you know, not crafting the songs at home, you know, and so you know, he sits and works on these things for hours and hours, like he, you know, you have this image of him sat there fiddling with the guitar for hours until
right.
He's crafted it and it's perfect and it's ready to go, whereas with these ones, you know, they've thrown that out and it's, no, let's just, you know, work on something in the studio, get it done, knock it out. And I think you can tell by the, you know, they had a certain period. They used that time effectively. They managed to get together what they had,
mm-hmm.
and then boom, done. He's done, you know. And so, and there's something great about that. Like in a film, if someone's, you know, going back to films again, but if like Woody Allen's got, you know, got the actors for 4 weeks in New York, they make a film, they move on, you know, and that's it. And it might not be, you know, it's not a something you're going to craft for 10 years, but it feels like that. And I think with the interludes, by splitting the interludes up and you know, because there's not that much, you know, when you think about it. Fort Knox is a pretty much an instrumental. The two interludes, there's only, what, like eight songs, really?
Something like that,
proper songs. Yeah, so you can tell it's kind of like, let's split the interlude into two, then that'll make it, then that blags it to 11, and
and
stick Dead in the Water as a bonus. And
I think Dead in the Water is a fucking beautiful track, you know. I know everybody's like, blah, boring Noel song, but, you know, that's what I love. That's what I fell in love with, and that's what I'm a fan about. And I do like that he's trying something different, because you know, it gives you more of an insight into his creative personality, I guess, and what he is capable of. I don't know.
It's something I said on the on when I first reviewed it, and I agree with this point. I still, you know, good, my point, but I would agree with it, but I haven't changed my mind. You listen to the rest of the album, and it's all good, you know, and there's tracks that are better than others. Like I say, Be Careful What You Wish For is still a bit of a slog. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to Dead in the Water, you sort of think, oh, wait, hold on, this is Noel. This is what I want. You know, this is that magical where it touches you, and there's that line about, you know, I remember the days when we had no money, and you think that's that, that, you know, yearning and that wistfulness and that beautifulness.
I've been thinking about the days when we had no money, the photograph of you, well, it still seems funny. Gotta get back to the promised land, so don't walk away, love.
And you think, oh yeah, I haven't felt that for the last 45 minutes while I was listening to the other tracks.
Yeah.
And you think, that's why, you know, and it's that example of what you've been missing for the last 45 minutes is demonstrated by Dead in the Water.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's like it's like a love letter put into a song. It's absolutely incredible. I think the way he can do that with words and an acoustic guitar, because all that song is his voice and an acoustic guitar. Which is absolutely...
Bit of Mikey Rowe in the background.
Yeah, oh, big props to Mikey Rowe. Obviously, he's a listener, so we'll say hi to him.
Don't think so, man. He listens to our kids, Chris from the stage left, but I don't know if he listens to me.
Damn it.
If you are listening, Mikey, you're more than welcome to come on. I know you've gone on that other one, but you know where the proper podcast is, but there you go. So, cool. So that's really good, Brian. I'm by. It's nice to... catch up on those, and you're going to see both of them?
Liam, I'm not sure about. I know I missed a couple of his shows. I was going to fly out to California, but we just bought a house 3 months ago, so that was X'd out. Noel is coming to the States, and he'll be up in Michigan. Then he'll be doing. There's three shows in Texas. I'll be going to all three of those. I may go up to Michigan and catch a show up there. But now with, you know. Oh, my little girl Oasis is turning two. We've just bought a new house. I bought, you know, some memorabilia that set me back a bit. But I don't know if following Noel around the country is really the best idea right now. So, but I'll go to at least five shows this tour. So I'll definitely see him.
Just the five, mate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the five.
Yeah, just the five. Because one summer I went to like 21 shows in the. Down here in the U.S. and that's when
is that when you realized you had a problem?
No. I realized I had a problem very early on in life, so
very early on. Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's cool. And then the other thing that I thought was really good that happened in the last few months is you got a bit of new ink.
Yes I did. Brian, it's funny because I was talking about, you know, Brian catching on to my little colloquialisms that I say, like, we're all set. But he came down to photograph my entire collection bit by bit, because we're working on a book together that will document every item that I own, from the smallest, I guess, promo pencil to what I my recent acquisition actually was the recording desk and the reel-to-reel machine that live demonstration was recorded on. You know, it's a very special piece of Oasis history, probably the I don't know, the earliest, I guess, piece of Oasis history, because where do you go before that? The tape wasn't even made yet. Yeah. So this predates live demonstration tapes.
That's pretty much the first thing Liam ever... Well, Liam recorded with Noel in the band anyway. I mean, obviously right. He's got the previous stuff, you know, which was like, I Better Let You Know and that kind of stuff. But no, wow, what an amazing piece to have. Actual desk. Where the hell are you keeping the desk in your house? Yeah. And have you had it shipped over?
Oh, my goodness. You know, my wife is a very patient woman, and I love her very much, let me add. Like I said, we just moved into a new house, so my office and the house is a little bit more fit for storing Oasis memorabilia. And even then, it's getting pretty cramped.
And what's the situation? Because I've had a couple of people who are in America. I know that our good friend Grandpa Batman, a friend of the podcast,
yes,
he wants to come round and come and see it. Are you charging an entrance fee these days?
No.
Or maybe a donation to charity or something?
You know, if they want to donate to charity, yeah. But I'm always here. I've got a few friends that I used to go to college with that were Oasis fans, and they want to come down and check it out. But anybody's welcome to contact me. I'm pretty easygoing, so if you ever want to see some cool Oasis stuff and you're in San Angelo, Texas, just hit me up.
Fair enough. Anyway, we're talking about Brian Cannon. So the ink. So basically,
oh, yes.
You've got this amazing tattoo. Now, if you're going to get the Definitely Maybe logo tattooed on your leg, there's only one way to do it, right?
That's right. If you're going to collect Oasis memorabilia and you're already a nut, you know, you have to put it on your leg. So what I did was, well, I have to put it on your body in ink, so it'll be permanent forever. So Brian came down during the summer, I think late May, actually. I think right after we did our interview in May, he had come down. He stayed with me for 2 weeks. We photographed my collection extensively, and I've always had the idea that I wanted the Definitely Maybe handwriting, and which is, by the way, for people who don't know, the handwriting in Definitely Maybe is in Brian Cannon's own hand. Obviously, he's a sleeve designer for Oasis. So I took him down to the guy who does all my ink. His name is Jesse Marquez, down at Inkland, and you know, I had an appointment. We went in. Brian signed Definitely Maybe on my calf with a pen, and then I have some pictures of him doing that, and finally got it inked on there. And I get questions all the time. They're like, what is that? And they're like, oh, cool, you got the Definitely Maybe logo. And I love telling the story because I'm a freak.
Not just the logo, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you'd think. That's pretty significant. But no, the guy who actually did it originally flew over.
And did my tattoo, yeah. It's pretty incredible, man.
That's not too bad.
My life gets more insane and freaky as time goes on, so...
Well, mate, you take that fandom to another level. That is nuts.
Oh, thank you. That's a compliment.
Oh, absolutely, it's a compliment. Yeah, so Brian's taken photos of everything in the collection.
All right.
And then, so what you said, the plan's a book.
Yeah, the plan is a book. I think it's important to make sure that everything that I have isn't just, you know, kept under lock and key. You know, while some collectors would say, you know, you need to do that to, you know, to hang on to the value because the unseen is, you know, more valuable. And I agree with that. But since I am blessed with having so much stuff, I think I'm responsible to let everybody see everything and the extent and how important Oasis is to me. And maybe they can have that same feeling, because I know a lot of people out there feel the same way about Oasis, and while they may not have the space for all the stuff, and I do, I think sharing that with people is important for the history of Oasis and for preservation.
Absolutely. And so for preservation's sake, you've agreed to play me the studio recording of I'm the Walrus that's yet to be released. So if you wouldn't mind just email that over now, it's oasispod@gmail.com. Is that all right?
That's good. I'll dig that tape out. It's somewhere in my basement.
So yeah, there's something that we talked about on the Angeli Dutt episode, because I think until I was reading around on it, and I think even until a few months ago, there was still a question of whether this actually existed. But Angeli said, "Oh yeah, I remember it existed." And so I was like, "What does it sound like?" It's like, "Well, it's good." And you think, "No, come on," you know. And then it's like, "Oh yeah, Garcia's got it." And you're like,
it's funny you say that, because I remember when I spoke to Tony, when I gave him a call and I was asking him about it, and you know, he even had trouble recalling it. He's like, "Oh, I don't remember." But I'm like, "No, I'm holding the tape, you know, right here." And, you know, Tony's a great guy, and he messaged me later on. He's like, "Oh, you know what? I found this tape." And he goes, "I do remember recording it." And it was a separate tape. He didn't have I Am the Walrus, but it was some recordings from that session and whatnot. I think it was Columbia. He sent me a picture. It was like a two-track tape. It had, like, Columbia and Rock and Roll Star or something on it. And he's like, "Oh, I do remember this session." He's like, "I do remember recording that." But it's strange how that's the only, I guess, surviving copy out there.
No, it's funny, isn't it? And have you got Liam's sad song?
I don't. You know, I've been contacted by, I think, three people already, you know, private message, you know, saying, you know, "Hey, man, I know you've got this. I know you've got that. Do you have Liam's sad song?" And I don't. Those are in the ignition vaults, or those are in the ignition vault. So,
and you know what's interesting? Yeah, I'm a massive Beatles fan. I know you are as well. But like, so in the Beatles, there's so much, and it came out so quick as well. It came out in the 70s, often, that you had all these alternate versions that, you know, then that always had been out there for years, and then it got collated with anthology. You know, like the different version of Annual Bird Can Sing, and the various versions of, you know, Strawberry Fields and that sort of stuff.
Always know, sometimes think it's me, but you know I know when it's a dream. I think I know, I mean, yes, but it's all wrong. That is, I think I disagree. Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields.
I'm not aware that Oasis had that many kind of, you know, you've got the Songbird electric demo and you've got the Mystique demos, but I'm not aware of that. You know, they went into the studio, recorded it one way, changed it, recorded it another way. I just don't think that exists as much. What do you think?
I know there's, not even Oasis songs. I know there's like some things that they did with another band, they recorded one of their songs. But, you know, as far as like alternative versions, you know, while I don't own everything, obviously, you know, I do hear, you know, the occasional, "Oh, this track exists, that track exists," but, you know, I'm not keeping anything back, but there's just nothing I've heard. You know, there's nothing I've heard that's out there that, that I'd like to like really get my hands on besides that sad song by Liam.
I think that it's just that Noel had such a good idea of what he wanted to do. Obviously, there definitely may be sessions, you know, that stuff all got re-recorded so many different times in different places. But after that, I think they had Noel's demos, they rehearsed it, they went in, they nailed it and moved on. You know, and the only one I can think of that's got, you know, you've got the Mystique demos, obviously, and you've got this the Giants demos, which leaked out on the Giants CDs before Standing on the Shoulder of Giants came out. But, you know, they're just Noel acoustic demos. I'm not aware of there being loads of significant different versions, I'd say, other than Songbird, the electric version. But, and I think it's just that they just went in, nailed it, moved on.
I think so, because Noel's very, I don't know him personally recording, but, you know, he just seems like he's very focused, he's very driven, and it's very, the way he goes in, very clinical. It's like, you're going to do this, I'm going to do this, it's going to go like this. You know, because there is only one boss, and that boss is Noel. And it's going to go this way, and that's it.
I remember seeing an interview a little while ago with Liam, and they were asking about any unreleased songs. And he said, "Well, maybe there are with Our Kids Singing, but it won't be with me." because I think especially in the later days when he was just, you know, a tricky to get into the recording studio, and you know, there's talk on you know, I think what is it on Don't Believe the Truth that you know they had to go with all these the other songs because they just couldn't get hold of Liam, you know, and that's why they never did a version of Record Machine with Liam, right, and things. He just, because he wasn't turning up.
Yeah. You know, and I've seen some photos of some notebooks, you know, from Wheeler End Studios, with track listings that I don't recognize at all. You know, because there's like it's Getting Better Man, I don't know, some known Oasis tracks, and then mixed in there are like six tracks that I don't even recognize, and I think what those tracks are, maybe they may be tracks that have been renamed, but I still can't figure it out. Mm-hmm. So those tracks, we'll see if those tracks ever come to light. Mm-hmm. If not, I have a feeling they were just tracks that have already been released, just renamed.
And the other thing I was going to talk about as well was what was the latest on your event, or can you talk? I know you mentioned about maybe doing something like a live thing with Brian, or is that anything happening there or nothing you can talk about?
No, not yet. We're concentrated on the book right now because this book is over 630 Oasis items and growing every day. So, and it's going to be everything. It's going to be from every ticket stub to guitar pick to drum kits to, obviously, and one thing we're going to leave out is like CDs and cassettes and and albums. You know, we're going to put in the, you know, the test pressings and stuff with the special items. But as far as like promo CDs and stuff like that, we're going to leave out. But it's because it's already like 630 items, and every item is going to have its own page and a very detailed description below. So I've got a lot of work to do. So, yeah.
Good, enjoy it. Well, look, that's something we need, and you know, I know we've been in touch as well. You've seen the recent thing that we, you know, might be doing a book side of it as well. So if we can get, I mean, that would be great. I mean, obviously it's a very different thing if we're doing a, you know, if it's just the individual items versus the, you know, the story of the stories through the eyes of the fans. Yeah. So
I think that is so interesting because I learned so much from so many people, from the people that were there, and you know, they've been at gigs in 94, and you know, there's just so much information out there from fans, which I think is really important to have.
Yeah, cool. Even the modern stuff, you know, even the, you know, I don't know if you've seen recently, but there's been people on Twitter have been sharing like their Oasis stories, and people like that struggle with depression or like, you know, and only discovered the band, you know, like kid teenagers now, only just having discovered the band in recent years, and you know, and it changed their lives, and it's still happening, you know. So I think that's important as well.
Definitely.
You know, we'll get the people that were there in 94, you know, like I was at Nebworth in 96 and stuff, but you know, there's still, and I think that's the big part of this, is that the story didn't end in 96 97, you know, it carried on, and they continue to inspire people today. So, you know, let's capture that.
Absolutely.
That's the plan. Cool. Right. So did you want to have a quick chat about You've Got the Heart of a Star?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I know you asked me to pull my guitar out. I've just got over I had like a 24-hour flu, so I'm very congested. And second of all, my damn guitar is underneath all sorts of crap in collection room. So I wish I could have played it tonight because I'm feeling very, very inspired.
Cool. All right. Well, the reason I thought of you for You Got the Heart of a Star is you do occasional Oasis covers as well, don't you?
That
you put up on YouTube and things.
I have, and I need to get back into it. But
yeah, but you've got quite a bit to do, haven't you, with, you know,
yeah, absolutely,
family and the collection and restaurants and everything else.
Yeah.
So So yeah, but anyway, I know it's a big favourite of yours, and so I thought we'll talk about it here for the Oasis A to Z. So what is it particularly, you know, what do you think of it? What's your general thoughts on that tune?
You know, I think this tune like really hits me because I just always remember listening to it on, you know, you guys call it uni, college. I don't know, it's something, the lyrics, the melody, it really makes you, I guess, stop and kind of, it sounds cheesy, but it kind of makes you reflect on yourself, and on your own life. You know, if you could see what I could see, maybe we could all get along.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you've got the heart of a star. Just it's all those emotive words in it. You know, don't be ashamed of your bones and your blisters. It's it kind of makes you self reflect, especially that line. It's like, you know, you kind of look on you to yourself, and you're like, yeah. But I don't know. It's the melody. It's just a classic. It's almost like a quintessential Noel.
Yeah.
Noel song.
Well, he's doing the classic Noel guitar trick that we talked about, haven't we? The lazy trick that people say, where you've got where you put your two fingers on the third fret. So he's doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, chords wise, you know, we've got G, we've got C add 9, we've got A7 sus 4, we've got E minor 7, and we've got your D sus 4. So it's all it's in that.
So it's a Wonderwall.
Yeah, it's your basically Wonderwall.
Without the capo. Kind of,
yeah. Yeah, it's around there, isn't
yeah.
it? He's just fiddling around with his top two fingers
yeah.
around there. So it's your classic kind of, yeah, Wonderwall again. But hey, if it works, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's
it. Absolutely. I think it's incredible how he can use that same formula and recipe to make so many different incredible songs that speak to your soul, which is
mm-hmm.
what Noel does best.
No, absolutely. I think we've mentioned this on here, actually. You know Writing to Reach You by Travis?
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and I think you can imagine, I haven't, like, heard about the writing of that song, but, you know, obviously he says in it, and what's a Wonderwall anyway?
Yeah, anyway, right. Every day I wake up and it's Sunday, but every single night I won't go. Playing all the usual, and what's the wonderwall anyway? Keeps me sides outside, outside, so outside.
So you wonder if Brian. I was about to say Brian Garcia. If Fran Healy has sat there and gone, you know what? Why did that work so well? You know, like what was it about that song? Right, you know what? I'm just going to make a song with those chords and see if it works for me as well.
Yeah.
And then, and yeah, it did. It's a really good song. So there
yeah.
is something magical about those chords, isn't there? So yeah, lyrically, I think that's all right. I'll just plow through it. So you're never going to get along hanging out, thinking out loud. You're never going to get it on and be someone stuck in that crowd. So you call out for feelings you hope that don't ever exist. But don't be ashamed of your bones and your blisters. So come on, my brothers and sisters.
And I think everybody can relate to that. And that's a universal, very personal to everybody. Whether, you know, it doesn't matter where you come from, everybody can relate to those lines.
You call out for feelings. You hope that don't ever exist. But don't be ashamed.
Yeah, it's about being alone, being in the crowd, but being by yourself in the crowd, isn't it? Which Noel often, you know, he can come across as like introspective and grumpy sometimes, which is, you know, and there's the talk of him being a loner, which is very interesting that when he's so good, like he's so good in the chat show so far, and he's so good at doing that stuff when he wants to, yet, you know, he's probably quite an introspective person who just wants to kind of be on his own and play with the guitar.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And then chorus, because you can only be what you are, and you've got the heart of a star, but the light never hits you. And I said, come on, come on, my brothers and sisters. Which is just lovely, isn't it? It's just such a nice... such a nice sort of sentiment.
Really. Yeah, it gives a nice imagery, yeah, it does.
You can only be what you are. And you've got the heart of a star. But the light never hits you. And I said, come on, my brothers and sisters.
Right, and then we go into the second verse. Where he's actually written one, which is good because sometimes he doesn't bother. But if you could see what I could see, maybe we could all get along. I think that's calling back to we see things they'll never see.
Yeah. Right?
You know, a similar thing. And maybe I can justify the bad things in life that I've done.
Yeah.
So I call out the feelings. Sorry, go on.
No, I was just going to say, and that's, you know, everybody's done done things in life, and good and bad. So, you know, like I said, this again, just the whole thing speaks to everybody. Rich, yeah. Poor, fat, skinny, black, white, purple, whatever you are, it's...
Mm-hmm. It means something.
Yeah.
But I could see, maybe we could all get along. And maybe I could justify the bad.
So I call out the feelings I know that don't ever exist. I won't be ashamed of my bones and my blisters. And then we've got a middle eight as well, where he says, and the slower that you go, the greener the grass grows. And what we all need is love in our lives. So go about your business, because life ain't your mistress.
Yeah, I love
Come
that
on,
line.
My brothers and sisters. Life ain't your mistress. What? I don't quite... It works, but I don't quite understand why. because life ain't your mistress. I need Katie Georgiou to come. Katie, come on, reply and tell me what this means, because I just, you know, I love the way that these things often sound, that Noel will come out with these great little lines, and you know, I don't quite get why it works, but it just, I just know it does.
Yeah, I guess it I don't know, it gives a feeling of like Don't flirt with life. Go all in. If you're not going to be serious, don't be serious. I mean, if you're not going to be serious, don't mess around with it.
And the slower that you go, the greener the grass grows. And what we all need is love in our lives. So go about your business, because life ain't your mistress.
Sound of it. So we've got once again, because it's a B-side, we have the annoying fact of they don't actually list who plays all the instruments. So because you only get the actual breakdown of who does what on the album tracks,
mm-hmm.
and then this being the B-side of Songbird, you don't get okay who played what.
Right.
But you know, if we look at you know, so it was a Heathen Chemistry. It was released on the Japanese version of Heathen Chemistry, as obviously you knew. Being the main man, and then when you look at the personnel involved, you've got listed for Heathen Chemistry. You've got Noel Gallagher, guitars, keyboards, backing vocals, lead vocals, and you've got Gem, Andy Bell, Alan White. You also have Paul Stacey listed as mellotron and Hammond organ, Mike Rowe as pump organ. And so I've got a feeling that the you know, because it sounds like there's brass in this song, but to me that sounds like that could be mellotron brass, or maybe pump, even some sort of, well, the brass definitely, I don't think it's a live brass, or if it is, well, why haven't they been credited for Live Well? So, well, although, hold on, this is Oasis, they don't always credit. So, I'm imagining that Strange Boy on Mellotron there.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You were saying Strange Boy Stacy, he was, that was what's going to come out of my mouth next. I think that was him. But You never know, these credits are always hit and miss.
Yeah, and it's such a, you know, the sound of it as well, you know, it's because it's acoustic, but there's a lot going on here. I'd say that it sounds like horns, but, you know, I think it's probably Mellotron. And it's got a lovely, someone said in one of the comments when I put this on Twitter that it's got like a Christmassy feel to it. I think so. It's got kind of that, whether it's tambourine or it's almost like sleigh bells in the background. It's got a lovely.
That's true. It's funny you say that now that I'm thinking about it. It does.
And with that Mellotron brass sound as well, it almost sounds like you're going to see like a brass band concert at Christmas with, you know, they're playing God Rest You Merry Gentlemen or something. Like, you know, it's like it's got that. It has definitely got that feel to it, I think. Yeah. Maybe it's just because we were doing, you know, people were giving these comments just after Christmas over here. But yeah, it definitely has that feel to it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that.
I was going to say, it's one of those rare ones. So, you know, you've kind of got the line in the sand, haven't you, of you know, the Master Plan being released. So, you know, the B-sides album, the Master Plan. So, because that was the end of Creation Records, it was the end of Brian Cannon's involvement, it was the end of, you know, Oasis Mark I lineup. And you can almost say, okay, well, everything that came after that. And this is one of the rare kind of Noel classic acoustic B-sides. There aren't that many after that, you know, the Master Plan album was released. So, and this is definitely one of the standout tracks from that Mark II period.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why it also hits my soft spot, because it's one of the last surviving, I don't know if you call it anthemic or just, it's almost just lovely just to listen to, just, it's just a great track. It just reminds me of all the killer B-sides, like you said, off of Master Plan and pre-2000.
And so it was the B-side to Songbird. Would you have gone with, do you think it's a B-side? Would you have put it on Heathen Chemistry? Would it have been a single for you? What do you think?
No, I would have definitely put it on Heathen Chemistry. I think Heathen Chemistry could use some help, actually.
Not so, one of your favorites?
Yeah, it's not one of my favorites. I think my least favorite is probably Don't Believe the Truth. No, I don't know. Yeah, probably Heathen Chemistry would be my least favorite. Let's see exactly where that could fit in.
So I've got, I mean, I actually listened to Heathen Chemistry today in preparation for it. It's not one I dig out and listen to all the time. And I think it's, once again, you know, it's something I've said loads of times on the podcast, so I'm sorry for repeating myself, but Oasis for me is the magic formula of Noel writes the songs and Liam sings the songs. How many songs do you think on Heathen Chemistry did Noel write and Liam sings lead vocals off the top of your head?
Three.
Two.
Wow.
Hindu Times.
Mm-hmm.
Force of Nature is sung by Noel.
Stop Crying Your Heart Out.
Stop Crying Your Heart Out. Everything else.
That's it?
Was either. That's
wow.
It. Oh, sorry. Probably All in the Mind. Probably All in the Mind.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Everything else was written by someone else, if Liam sang it, or was. Or Noel sang it.
Wow. That's crazy. That is a great observation. I never sat down and thought about it.
Yeah, but you can tell it's like that's the formula. Why did they change the formula?
That's probably why it's my least favorite album. While I love all the albums, and I do love listening to this album, it's probably like my least favorite. And I think because, like you said, that formula, the band members, the Noel writing and the Liam singing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would put it over. I dropped Force of Nature for it. I'm not a big fan of that tune. I'd drop Shears Love for it. I'd say Shears Love. Yep. I don't think it's that strong.
That's the one.
Probably All in the Mind. A Quick Peep. I think all of those would be dropped for You Got the Heart of a Star for me.
It's strange. Like probably All in the Mind is not one of my more favorite tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have definitely chunked that one out. Or A Quick Peep. Why is that even there?
I don't know. Maybe Andy Bell was contractually obliged to provide something. I don't know. It's a funny one. But once again, I just think, especially the fact that Liam's voice isn't its best. I think this is probably his kind of croakiest period on here. And you can, except for Songbird, I think Songbird he probably tried his best. But the other ones, you can tell his voice is a bit cracked. And I think that's probably why there is quite a lot of, Noel-led songs on there. But it's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah, good observation on that one. I never caught that.
Good. All right. So that's fine. So we'll obviously drop a little bit of You Got the Heart of a Star in here. But no, thank you for doing that. That's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on,
And then we finish the bracket songs now, so we can actually move our A to Z can finally move into A. Because start with open bracket, clearly.
Yeah.
But that's then the choice we've got. This is if you're a complete geek like me. Now, what do we go with A? Do you start with
Acquiesce?
But do you though? Because you've got A Bell Will Ring.
Oh, geez.
Now, do you start with A? With A, I'm going to let you decide, Brian Garcia. Do you start with A Bell with should A Bell with Will Ring and A Quick Peep go under B and Q, or should they be under A?
They should go under A.
Okay, they're going under A then. That's been decided. Sorry, guys, if you wanted to hear Acquiesce next, you've got to wait a while. You've got to get through A Bell Will Ring and A Quick Peep. A Bell Will Ring's a good track. I like that.
Yeah.
Good, cool. All right. The only other thing I was going to do, Brian, as well, and I'm going to spring this on you, is someone on Twitter mentioned to me the other day that we think we should do, like, once a month or something like that, we should do, like, an induction into, like, the Oasis Fandom Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea.
And I've decided that you are the inaugural person in the Oasis Fandom Hall of Fame, mate. So welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Shit, I will take that. I'm raising my arms in a V right now. Yes.
Welcome to the Oasis Podcast Hall of Fame.
Fantastic.
We're going to retire your jersey. What number is your jersey, mate?
Number one.
Number one, of course. So there you are. So Brian Garcia's jersey is being lifted up into the... See, I do know about American sport. It's being lifted up into the top of the stands right now.
To the rafters.
There you go. To the rafters, absolutely. But no, I think everything you've done, I mean, we talked about it in the first episode, so I'm not going to kiss up to you too much, but it's fantastic. You know, the level of dedication you've shown, you've mutilated your body with ink. you've spent thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
You've named your child Oasis. It's hard for pretty much anyone to top what that, man. But
thanks, man, and I appreciate that. It's definitely a passion. A passion.
Good. And so Brian Garcia is our inaugural member of the Oasis Hall of Fame.
Excellent.
And we've got more people to come in the coming weeks.
Excellent. I will accept this award on behalf of the entire Academy. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. Good night.
Awesome. Brian, well, I'll leave it there, man. So have a you go and have dinner with your family or whatever you're going to do now.
Yep.
I'm going to go to bed.
James, I appreciate it, man. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to doing some more of these interviews. Hopefully in the coming months, we'll have some more information, some more juicy stuff to talk about. But thanks again for having me. Oh, one more thing I'd like to that I missed last time. I'd like to say anybody interested in owning original handwritten Noel Gallagher lyrics, I have donated some to the Mark Allison charity through Archie Hartness. It's the M. Allison F star UCK cancer, obviously fuck cancer, charity.
Oh, okay.
So he's getting the charity and all that stuff set up. So there will be a raffle, so everybody can participate. It's not going to be like, you know, the lyrics will go to the highest bidder and anybody with the deepest pockets is going to win. Everybody has an equal chance to win, depending on how many raffle tickets you buy to own original Noel Gallagher handwritten lyrics, which will be one of them is All Around the World, and I'm forgetting the other ones that I donated, but definitely All Around the World is one of them. So follow Borders Blue Casual. That's all together, Borders Blue Casual, on Instagram, and obviously my Instagram account, which is Oasis DNA, for some more updates on that. So as a charity, I guess, gets formed and whatnot, I'll be updating, and he will be updating on when that will be.
Fantastic. That's brilliant, man. That's great. Between you and with Brandon Aaron, who we did the fundraising for as well, Oasis is going to cure cancer as well. It's that, awesome.
I hope so. I hope so, because hope so, yeah. It's touched a lot of lives. So let's see if we can fight back a little bit.
That's fantastic. Now, I'll buy some of those as well. Can you just fix it so I win? Because I want that All Around the World lyric. Is
that right? I'll see what I can work out, man. I'll see what I can work out. I'll sift through my collection, see if we can get you something.
Yeah, just when you're pulling out the tickets, just put mine in the microwave first.
So it's warm.
And so it's warm. That's the hot ball. See, in football, proper football, soccer, they have a draw for like the FA Cup or whatever, you know, when they're sort of pulling out, you know, and they do it like they have balls and they put their hand in the thing.
It's right.
Like, number 26, Manchester United will play number 23. And there's always like, you know, if it comes out like it's going to be, you know, Arsenal v Chelsea, and you think, oh, come on, it's just been set up so that, you know, to have a good game for the thing. And they would say it's because they put hot balls. They've gone in, microwave them first, and they've gone in. So it's just microwave my raffle ticket, man, and I want to get that all around the world.
Yeah. I will make sure I do that for you. I will make sure I do that. Fine. But yeah, so everybody's got an equal chance to win, so I'm looking forward
Except
to...
Except me, because I'm going
to
win.
I'm looking forward to seeing you win.
What's the second prize?
Actually, there's three sets. There's three sets of lyrics, so it's not just one. So there's multiple items on the table, and there's going to be some other things that I think I don't want to say who, because I don't know. I don't want to say anything. I don't know, but there's some other people who have donated some nice things, non-Oasis related, but nice none the like.
Nonetheless,
yeah. So make sure everybody gets ready with those raffle tickets. So we'll be posting more information soon.
Nice one. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go, but thank you so much, Brian. Much appreciated, mate.
Absolutely, man. And I look forward to talking soon, James.
So thank you to Brian, and welcome to the Hall of Fame. It's pretty lonely in there right now because you're the only one in there, but watch this space. And as more of you get inducted, and and if you think that there's someone that you really think deserves to be in the Oasis Podcast Hall of Fame, then give me a shout on all the usual places. So let's just cover off your guys' reaction to You Got the Heart of a Star, because I went and asked you for it on Twitter. So as always, I did a poll. I did, because you can only do four options, so I did 5, 4, 3, 2 out of 5. No one sort of replied and said they wanted to give it 1 or 0. We got 27% of you said 5, 34% of you said 4, 24% said 3, and 15% said 2. And so that gave it an average of 3.73, which puts it third in the list so far out of 6. So it's currently, and that's our bracket songs done, as I said to Brian. So it's good to be free at number 1. I got the fever at number 2. Then you got the heart of a star. As long as they got cigarettes in hell, probably all in the mind, and get off your high horse, lady. It'll be interesting to see if something gets worse than that. We've got a quick peep coming up in a couple of episodes, so maybe that will. That's if I can find someone to talk to about it. I don't think there'll be many takers for that. I think a few of you might want to do acquiesce, but there you go. We also got some comments on it. So Jim Regan, who is at JBone72, said solid tune, could have been on Heathen Chemistry. Michael Hart, who's at What a Mind Blast, said one of the best songs of the HC era. Great use of horns. I always think the percussion that makes it sound Christmassy. Ah, so that's who I was referring to when I said that to Brian. Richard Bowes at Ricky B. Richard Bowes, who has changed his Twitter handle to at rbowes81. A bit long, but the lyrics in the second verse always get me. The type of honesty Noel would only give on a bonus track / B-side. That's true. Mark Ovrani said it's like a nice big sigh. And Oasis tribute band said a steady 3 from us. Not the best, not the worst. So, so thank you guys for getting involved with that. If any of you listen to that and it inspires you to record me a little audio message or get back in touch and tell me what you think about You've Got the Heart of a Star, then please do. So on these A to Zs, I always like to cover off whether the songs were played live. And this is an interesting one because it was only ever played live once. So on the Heathen Chemistry tour, they played in a Fukuoka in Japan on October the 1st, 2002. They started off with a typical set. Hello, Hindu Times, Hung in a Bad Place, Go Let It Out, Columbia, Morning Glory, and then Liam Gallagher walked off. So what happened is Noel did an acoustic set. He did Stop Crying Your Heart Out, Live Forever, Talk Tonight, Bittersweet Symphony, Whatever, The Master Plan, You Got the Heart of a Star, and Wonderwall. And then the band came back on and without Liam did She's Electric, Little by Little, Force of Nature, Hey Hey My My, and Don't Go Back in Anger. So this is the only chance we ever got to hear them play it live, unless Noel drags it back out again in his other sets, but I doubt very much he would do that. So let's leave it with a little bit of Noel Gallagher doing this in Japan. That's it for today. Thank you all very much for listening to the podcast, and especially thanks as always to our patrons: Cindy, Andrew, Simon, Remy, Jim, Richard, Amy, Mark, Dana, Mike, Fraser, David, Jeff, Davey, Jason, David, Casey, Dan, and Alex. You can become a patron and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod. Do follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Oasis Podcast. Email me at oasispod@gmail.com. Merchandise is available at TeePublic, and please subscribe and review us on iTunes. And many thanks to the aforementioned Katie Georgiou, who's gone and done that this week. So she said she gave it 5 stars, and she said, thanks to this podcast, I felt inspired to create my own. Oh yeah, and so guys, make sure you go and listen now to Katie's podcast, which is called Sound Effects, which is a good name because I came up with it. And by doing that, it's made me appreciate even more how clever the Oasis podcast is. It's brought together a whole community of Oasis fans in one place and created such a buzz not felt for years. I love the mix of news with stories and interviews with the people who were involved with the band at the time. put it all together and you get an exciting picture of the band's impact beyond what you read in the press. The host is down to earth, inclusive, and scarily knowledgeable about everything. Okay. It's so good, even Liam Gallagher wants to be involved. Well, kind of. Not really, but there you go. But thank you very much, Katie. That's greatly, greatly appreciated. So, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, stay young.